Today's scripture reading is Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Verse 10. The followers came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you use stories to teach the people?" Jesus answered, "You have been chosen to know the secrets about the kingdom of heaven, but others cannot know these secrets. Those who have understanding will be given more, and they will have all that they need. But those who do not have understanding, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I use stories to teach the people. They see, but they really don't see. They hear, but they really don't really hear or understand. So they show that the things Isaiah said about them are true. You will listen and listen, but you will not understand. You will look and look, but you will not learn. For the minds of these people have become stubborn. They do not hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might really understand what they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They might really understand in their minds and come back to me and be healed. But you are blessed because you see with your eyes and hear with your ears. I tell you the truth, many prophets and good people wanted to see the things that you now see, but they did not see them. And they wanted to hear the things that you now hear, but they did not hear them."
It used to be a joke, or maybe it still is, that men don't like to ask for directions, or sometimes even follow directions. I don't know. It must be a pride thing. I'm not really sure. I mean, directions are necessary at times because it's important to know how to get where you want to go, and how to put something together correctly, and how to operate something correctly. In some instances, if one does not follow directions, it can cause some serious harm. One of the more important places you find directions is related to taking medication. You know, they give you these sheets now with your medication, and they write them on the bottle. I can't read the bottle. The writing is too small. But it tells you how to take the medicine, when to take it, and warnings about not taking it correctly. And if you don't take some medications the way it's prescribed, it could have some severe negative consequences to your health. Recently, I was given a prescription for a steroid for my shoulder and arm, and on the outside of the bottle it read, "If you don't take it as prescribed, it may not be effective." I don't know whether I did or not. It kept me from sleeping. That's all I know it did for me. But imagine, if you would for a moment, a pharmacist writing directions about a specific medication in such a manner as to make it somewhat difficult for you to understand. You know, if a pharmacist did that, and maybe some of us think they do, they would not be a pharmacist for very long, because that can be deadly in some instances. Interestingly enough, Jesus often taught in parables. And when his disciples asked him in Matthew 13 why he taught in parables, Jesus implied was so that some people would not understand. Which, you know, makes you kind of scratch your head a little bit. I mean, most all of you understand and recognize that there's nothing more important than knowing God, than knowing the will of God. I mean, our eternal salvation depends on knowing God and His will, and He wants us to know His will. So why in the world would Jesus purposefully speak in a manner that caused confusion? That's kind of confusing. I want to study some parables with you for the next couple of months, but I think it's important to begin that study by attempting to understand what the purpose was for Jesus to teach in parables. In the beginning of Matthew 13, it indicates that Jesus used many parables to speak to the crowd. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, the apostles themselves asked Jesus why he spoke to them in parables. I mean, even they didn't know. And one of the reasons they asked him that question is revealed in Mark's gospel in chapter 4, verse 34. Referring to the crowds, it reads, "He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything." So when Jesus taught a parable to the crowds, he would later then explain the meaning to his apostles in private. Which caused, his apostles to wonder why he didn't explain the meaning to the crowds like he did to them. Now, had you and I been there, we probably, would have wondered the same thing. Why would Jesus hide the truth? Why would he speak in parables? Why would he intentionally hide the meaning? Why even bother to teach them if you're going to hide the truth from them? I've shared with you before, I had a really good math teacher in high school. I took 4 years of math from Mrs. Becker. She was a great teacher, but she would get a little annoyed if you asked too many questions. If people began asking too many questions, she would get annoyed at that. I mean, she would put up with it for about 3 or 4 questions, and then after that was it. She cut you off, and she just went on teaching. And I always thought it was kind of odd. That here she is trying to help us understand whatever it was, geometry or algebra or whatever it happened to be. Here she is, she's a teacher, trying to help us understand, and she wouldn't ask or answer any questions after a certain period of time. It seems as though Jesus was deliberately keeping life-saving information from the people, which didn't make sense to his apostles, and it may not make sense to you either if you have not, read this before. In Matthew 13, verse 11, Jesus pointed out why. He explained the meaning to his apostles, but not to the crowds. He said, "You," referring to his apostles, "have been chosen to know the secrets or mysteries about the kingdom of heaven, but others cannot know these secrets." These mysteries or secrets of the kingdom of heaven were later revealed by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. It reads, "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which has not been made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Verse 6, "This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." So the mystery had to do with the fact that the kingdom of heaven was going to be a spiritual kingdom, not a national kingdom. Paul described the mystery twice to the Colossians as Christ in you. The apostles were the ones who were specifically chosen to receive this information about the kingdom at this time, because their hearts were open to the truth. Jesus was the master teacher. His apostles were his students. They would be the ones, after his resurrection, who would eventually go into all the world and teach this, because they believed in Jesus. They accepted his deity. Then everyone who believed and received this teaching would go out and teach others. And of course, you're experiencing that today. It's the Great Commission. So Jesus went on in Matthew 13, verse 12, saying, "Those who have understanding will be given more, and they'll have all they need. But those who do not have understanding, even what they have will be taken away from them." And that still sounds like he's purposefully withholding information, but in the next verse he explains his reason. Verse 13, "This is why I use stories to teach the people. They see, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really hear or understand. So they show that the things Isaiah said about them are true. You will listen and listen, but you will not understand. You will look and look, but you will not learn. And so if we stop there for a moment, you know, Jesus makes it sound like his reason for not explaining the meaning of a parable was because they weren't capable of understanding. You know, which doesn't make sense, you know. Maybe if he explained it, they would understand it. But if you keep reading, he then gives a more accurate reason. Verse 15. For the minds of these people have become stubborn. They don't hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might really understand what they see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They might really understand in their minds and come back to me and be healed. You know, a lot of people, particularly the religious leaders at that time, didn't accept who Jesus claimed to be. They didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. So there was no way they were going to accept the concept or the secret of Christ in them. Their hearts had to at least be somewhat open to what Jesus was revealing about himself and the kingdom. So the reason the people would not be able to understand was because of their unwillingness to understand, their unwillingness to accept the truth about Jesus and his kingdom. It was not that they didn't have the ability to understand. It was a fact that they refused to believe it and accept it. And so basically, that's what you see in the Gospels, particularly among the religious leaders. They refused to believe in Jesus. They refused to believe in a spiritual kingdom. They refused to believe that someday all people would be included in the kingdom. I mean, they went so far as to accuse Jesus of using the power of the devil to do the good works that he did. You know, and there are still people like that today. There are still even the current day Jews refuse to accept the deity of Jesus and the kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God. You know, Paul explained this same problem in his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He wrote, if the good news that we preach is hidden, it's hidden only to those who are lost. If the good news that we preach is hidden... Well, I'm sorry, I already said that. Verse 4, the devil who rules the world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. That's a key verse there. Who do not believe. They cannot see the light of the good news about the glory of Christ who is exactly like God. So Paul was not saying they can't believe. He was saying they won't believe. Their unwillingness to accept the truth permitted Satan to deceive them and keep them from seeing the truth. So, confusing the unbelievers was necessary to reveal what was in their heart. You know, the truth was there to be found if they were willing to try. But they weren't willing to try. I mean, what a tragedy. What a tragedy of having a heart that's not open to the truth. You know, I often thank God in my prayers that I had a heart that was open to the truth. I don't know where I'd be today if my heart hadn't been open to the truth. Jesus said to his apostles in verse 16 of Matthew 13, but you're blessed. You're blessed because you see with your eyes and you hear with your ears. They believed in Jesus. And I'm so thankful that I believe too. I'm thankful that you believe. I'm thankful for every person who believes. So Jesus spoke in parables to intentionally hide the truth from those who really didn't want to hear the truth, who really had closed their minds to the truth. And maybe that's what Jesus meant when he said, don't throw your pearls before pigs. You know, you would rarely give something of extreme value to someone who had absolutely no appreciation or understanding of its value. You know, when your children are little, and maybe even as adults, I don't know. You don't give them expensive objects to play with because you know they're either going to break it or lose it, right? I mean, you'd never give your possibly even a teenager, but a child, an Apple Watch, so he could wear it to school, because you know what would happen? He'd come home from school that day, and he would have traded it for some plastic, you know, watch that he thought, or she thought, looked prettier. So you wouldn't do that. When you know something has great value, you're going to be very careful with it. And you would never allow someone to take care of it who did not understand or appreciate its value. And that just seems to me to be what Jesus was doing by speaking in parables. You know, even today, I mean, you don't want to cast your pearls before for pigs. But you have to be careful about judging people before you get to know them. Too often we observe people who have had a few conversations with them and judge them to be someone who'd never be interested in the gospel. Or we just observe their way of life and we think, there is no way, I know that person would never accept the gospel. But I want to caution you. I want to caution you not to be too quick to judge. Because when you look on the outside, you can't see the heart of someone. A number of years ago, and I think I've shared this with you previously, when I was a member at Fisher and Kenny, and we used to have these Bible studies on campus. Sorry, I keep forgetting. I'm not wearing a lapel mic. I remember one time being in a Bible study on campus, and there was a person there, and somebody told me they were a practicing homosexual. Came to a Bible study. Later, that person became a Christian and ended. Yeah, he had had a male roommate, and he ended his relationship with that male roommate, moved out of the apartment, got his own place after becoming a Christian. And, you know, I don't know who invited him to that Bible study, but they obviously did not write him off based on just observation of his lifestyle. And that's something about which we need to be cautious. You know, our responsibility is not to pass judgment. Our responsibility is to present the gospel. You know, sometimes you just have to shake off the dust from your feet and go on, but let's leave the judging up to God, because he's really good at that. One other caution I'd like to offer to you this morning is, you know, even Christians at times can have difficulty accepting truth. Even Christians sometimes eyes are closed and ears are not open. And what I mean is that you can become very dogmatic about your understanding of Scripture, so much so that you're not open to other viewpoints or interpretations. When that happens, it can hinder your own spiritual growth. And none of us in here understands the truth perfectly, not a one of us. You and I have a lot more to learn, which is why we need to keep studying, keep reading, need to be open to other viewpoints from other Christians. You know, it's why we continue to encourage you to study with us in our classes. We had two classes this morning. We have a class on Wednesday night. We have a class on Sunday night. We have classes in some of our small groups. We encourage you to participate so that you can continue to learn and grow. The Hebrew author made the point in chapter 5, verse 12, that many of you should be teachers by now, but you still need to be taught some of the elementary principles of the faith. Don't let that be you. I volunteered to teach Bible classes a few years after I became a Christian. I'm not saying that to pump myself up, because the main reason I did it was selfish. I knew that if I wasn't forced to study the Bible, I would not study the Bible the way I should. And I knew that if I started teaching, it would force me to study the Bible better, because I knew I wouldn't do it on my own. I believe the parables are also a way to tell just how intent you are, and I am, at seeking the truth. If you notice, as you read the Bible, not all the parables are explained. I mean, in fact, very few are. And so maybe the Lord is seeking to know where your heart is in regard to knowing His will. How open your eyes are. How open your ears are to hearing and seeing the truth. So the message today is study. Study the Word. Read the Word. To the one who has, He says, more will be given. If you want more. Do you want to know God's will more accurately? Or are you just good where you are? You know enough right now, you're good. If you do want to know more, then make the effort. And it says He'll give you more. He'll give you more understanding. He wants you to know Him. If you'll make the effort, He'll reward your efforts. So show God you do want to know Him by taking the time to read, to study, spend time in His Word. You know, how important is the knowledge of God's will? I'll let you answer that. Every relationship takes effort. You know, marriage relationship takes effort. The relationship we have with one another takes effort. The relationship, your relationship with God takes effort. Will you make that effort? That's the question this morning. Will you make the effort to get to know Him better, get to know His will better? Your effort will determine what kind of relationship you have with God. If you just want a kind of a casual, arm's length relationship with Him, okay. Or if you want a close relationship with Him, it's really up to you. You decide what kind of relationship you want to have with God. He's there and He's ready to have as close a relationship as you're willing to give Him, but it's up to you. So I encourage you this morning to take a couple of next steps. You find that on your communication card this morning. Matthew 13:12, those who have understanding will be given more and they will have all they need. Those who do not have understanding, even what they have will be taken away from them. That's a frightening verse. I encourage you to memorize it. I encourage you to memorize, or not memorize, but read Matthew 13. If you want to memorize it, I'd encourage you to do that too. But read Matthew 13. There's several parables in Matthew 13, and he also gives you the explanation as to why he teaches in parables. And I encourage you to accept the effort challenge, that you will give your best effort to study God's Word regularly, every day if possible. Every day. Be in the Word. Listen to Him. Let Him speak to you. That's where He talks to you. Let God talk to you every day. And you'll get to know Him better, and your relationship will become deeper, and you'll be a stronger Christian. The first step, however, is really to believe in God. And I believe that the reason you're here this morning is because you believe, or at least you're wanting reasons to believe this morning. I encourage you to repent. I encourage you to turn away from sin. Not you don't have to listen to me, but that's because that's what He says. He encourages you to repent and to die to sin in baptism and to confess your faith in Him. And when you do that, there's a distinct advantage when you do that. Not only will you be saved, quite an advantage, but you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And it's His Spirit that enables you to begin to understand the spiritual truths that He's written in His Word. It's truly a blessing to have that Spirit and to have that help. And so I encourage you to take those challenges on your communication card, those next steps, and to take that effort challenge. And I encourage you, if you're not a Christian, you seriously consider that soon. If you're a believer, then I would seriously consider that, and I wouldn't wait all that long if you believe already. We'd love to help you do that this morning. If we can, let us know. We're going to stand now. We're going to sing this closing song. If you would, attach your communication cards in the nearest aisle. We'll collect it after this song. We'll give you an opportunity to respond this morning as Robin leads us to sing this song.